you, Brad. That's a beautiful hymn. Praise the Lord. And surely we're grateful tonight that you are here with us, that we can gather together and we can praise the Jehovah. And what a thrilling thing it is to see those that are visiting with us. We're glad you're here. And we hope that you'll come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. And when we go to the Bible, we learn so many wonderful things that will be encouraging and lift us up. And tonight I'd like for you to turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, here we read from Jesus, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard." We have the setting. Here is the man who has who's called the householder. He goes out early in the morning. He needs somebody to work in his vineyard. And he's going out to hire laborers in his vineyard. Verse 2, "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day," I doubt very many people would be excited about that today. You just got a penny a day. Of course, at this time, a penny was actually important. It was something that they could use. And here we find that the Bible says he sent them in his vineyard. They're now to go and to work in his vineyard. Verse 3, "And he went out about the third hour." Goes out, third hour of the day. "And he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way." On these people, he just simply said, you go, and whatever is right, that's what you'll get as a result of your going. And the Bible says again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and he did the same thing, inviting different ones to come in his vineyard to work in his vineyard. And about the 11th hour, he went out, and he found others standing idle. And he saith unto them, Why stand you here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. Now here they are, the 11th hour before the day is over, the 12th. And he said, Why are you standing here idle? We haven't had anybody to hire us. And so the Bible said, he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Again, the payment is just an agreement based upon the thing that is that which is right. Whatever is right, that's what I'll give you. And so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Now payday. Now time to pay off. So the Bible says, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. I'm sure they rejoiced over that. And they were glad. This is right. Here is the householder, and he's given to them what is right. And so they received a penny. And then the Bible says, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. Then he says, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. What is right? That was the agreement. I'll give you what is right. I'll do that if you come and work in my vineyard. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house. Why? Well, you're giving us the same thing as you gave those people that came in to work the 11th hour. They've only worked 1 hour. That doesn't seem right. But listen. And the Bible says that he said unto them, These last have wrought but 1 hour. And thou hast made them, rather they said unto him, And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them, and he said, Now he's going to explain. He's going to explain why everybody that came to work in the vineyard received one penny. He said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. I haven't committed something wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? There is the answer. The good man could decide what's lawful, what is right. He said, I'm not doing you any harm. I'm taking care of you. I'm giving you exactly what I promised to give you when you first started out the day. But I have the right to give these others what I think is right. And the Bible says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many will be called, but few are chosen. Invitation. Invitation to come into work. Work where? In the vineyard. That's exciting. A lot of people who doesn't have any work, these people who were standing around the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and then the 11th hour, nobody had actually invited them to come and work. They hadn't been hired. Now they got work. They're excited about it. And the good man of the house shows how righteous and good that he is. Invitations. Oh, come and work, the good man said. And so they did. I want to suggest to you a number of invitations found in the Bible tonight. In the very first place in Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, look what Isaiah says of God. The Bible says that he said, come now and let us reason together. Let's get together. Let's do some reasoning. Let's reason together, saith the Lord. And though your sins be as scarlet, and they shall be as white as snow, why in the world would not anybody want to get together with the Lord and reason with Him, when the Bible says, though your sins... Can you imagine an individual that's just sinned all of his life? An individual that's full of sin? And here's the Lord saying, come and reason with me. Here's what I'll do. Come and reason with me. And He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Cleanse. Forgiven. Just come, let's reason together. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Can you imagine the transformation that's going to be made on the part of the individual who would come and listen to the invitation of Jesus, rather the invitation of God, when He said unto them, come, come unto me, and let us reason. If ye be willing and obedient, here's the reasoning, ye shall eat the good of the land. Well, who doesn't want to eat the good of the land? Have a job. Have those things that are the necessities of life because you've worked. And here we find that God says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. Surely that's badness. Here's the invitation. God says, come, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. And here we find Him saying, let's reason together. Let's reason together. The invitation of God to those who would only be willing and obedient unto Him. And here is the important statement. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Think about that. The good man of the house, I haven't done you any harm. I hired you. I promised to give you a penny. And that's exactly what He did. God said, if you'll come to Israel, if you'll come and reason together with me, and if you'll be willing and obedient to do what I tell you, you will eat of the good of the land. However, if you refuse that invitation, if you refuse to come, you shall be devoured by the sword. And the mouth of the Lord hath spoken in. In the same book, those that were destitute, those that didn't have anything, listened to God as He invites them to come to Him. In Isaiah 55, 1 through 3, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Just come to me and I'll give you what you really need. That's the invitation of God. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You just come to me. Everything you need, I will provide it. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The invitation to those that are destitute, those who have nothing, can have everything if only they will come unto God. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 11, the Master is speaking. And the Master is speaking to everyone. Jesus Christ is saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, but I'll give you rest. You're worn out. You're tired. You don't have anything. If you come to me, here's what I'll do. I'll give you rest. What an invitation. What a joy to behold it. And he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Oh, we just need to learn more and more about Jesus. Because the more we learn about him, the better off we are. We know how great he is. Learn of me. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But in order to be the recipients of that which Jesus now speaks of, we've got to do something, that is, become the one who can give us what we really need. The Holy Spirit, likewise, extends an invitation. The Bible says in Revelation 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. What? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and the bride, the church even. Come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Those who are thirsty, those who are without, and the Spirit of God says, come, and you will have the waters of life. Who in the New Testament also made invitations, invited people? Look at what the Bible says. Number one, Andrew invited Peter. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. Let me tell you something, my friend. He was excited about that. Are you excited about being a member of the Lord's church? How many people do you and I invite? How many people do we know that are lost and we say something about their soul to them? Why, the Bible tells us Andrew was so excited because he said, we found the Messiah. Who is the Messiah? The promised Son of God. And the Bible says, which is being interpreted, Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. I always enjoy looking at that expression. And he brought him. He showed him where Jesus was. He led him to it. Are we doing that with our neighbors and friends? So many of us fail, don't we? So many of us fail to even open up our mouths and tell them about the Messiah that we know, who is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. All because someone cared for Peter. Andrew, his brother, and Andrew had found something very valuable. And when we find and we know how important Jesus Christ is to those that are lost, perhaps we'll do more inviting than we have. Secondly, in the same book, chapter 1, 43 through 46, the day following, Jesus go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, and you just notice that. These early disciples, when they found the truth, they found the Lord, then they wanted their brothers, their sisters, they wanted everybody else that they contact with, to know about that they had found. They invited them. And look what the Bible says. Philip findeth Nathanael and said to them, we have found him of whom Moses in the law. And boy, when he mentioned that, the ears of Nathanael really perked up. And the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, and we have found him. And Nathanael said unto him, really? Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? What? He's saying, is it possible that in Moses' law and the prophets, and you know what's written about the Messiah, that you have found him, and you're saying it came out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And look at the punchline. Look at what he said. Come and see. Invite him to come. Witness to the fact that indeed he'd found the Messiah. Remember the Samaritan woman? When Jesus appeared to her, and after he taught her concerning the importance of worshiping God, the Bible says, here's one thing she had in mind to do, and that is to get back into town and tell those people that are in town all about whom she had found. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Is this not the Messiah? And then they went out of the city, and they came unto him as a result of this woman saying, I want you to come with me and see somebody. I want, and invited them to come with her. Why, he has told me everything I have done. Isn't he really the Messiah? Yes, and they came unto him. And when they did, Jesus spoke to them. And they knew then what she had found was truly the Messiah. Levi invited his friends and co-workers, we find in Luke chapter 5. And after these things he went forth and he saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. I've always been amazed at that statement. Boy, when the Lord asked him to come and follow him, what did Levi do? He got up and he's ready to go. And then the Bible says, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Where did these people come from? Levi and Matthew had invited them. To hear what? To hear the Master. To see the Master, excited about that. And the last is Cornelius. What a tremendous thing that was. When Cornelius had invited his friends and his family and all. And the Bible says, in the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinsmen and dear friends. Everywhere we look at, the invitations. Invitations that people extended to others to come and share with them what they know that is right and good. Oh, we got to get excited about that, brethren and sisters. Here at O'Neill, invite others to come. Tell them that we're seeking to do the will of the Lord. Tell them you want them to hear the Word of God, to learn what God said concerning the most wonderful promise of all, and that is the promise that we can be with God. And the morrow after they entered Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he had called together his kinsmen and dear friends. He'd done something. You got them. I get excited sometimes about meeting. I thought we had a tremendous meeting with Brother Sandusky. I enjoyed listening to that man preach. I mean, he's really exciting. And I said, we're going to have the biggest crowds that we've ever had. That was a disappointment. Some couldn't be here. Some chose not to be here. Bringing a man in from miles away, the elders did. Paying his wages and all and getting him here. And he so willingly gets up and tells us the wonderful story of the Master. How excited are we about other people and teaching them the truth of God? The Bible says, and as he talked with them, he went in and he found many that were come together. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. We want to hear. We want to hear what you understand the word of the Lord to say. We want you to tell us the good story. And so many of the preachers have done so well in presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Invitations? To whom? Your friends? Your loved ones? Neighbors? And all? Yes. Who will do it? I hope you will. I'm embarrassed sometimes if I'm at the doctor's office and I'm sitting by somebody else and they take out a card and they'll tell me, here, I go to this particular congregation or this church and I'd like to invite you to come and be with us where we are. And I think, guy, where's your card? What have you said to others? Are you inviting others? Wouldn't it be great to see this church building filled? And it can be. And it will be with God's help and our doing what God tells us to invite others, teach others, and let us share with them the great hope of an eternity that they can have with God. Our hearts have been broken this year, well, every year whenever we lose great people. There's so many. I was talking to Matt Burns before services tonight. I was trying to think of all the people that we have lost that's gone into eternity just in the last year or so. So many, so close. We miss them so much. Yes, there's room in the kingdom. And you and I can help to fill this building up if we're willing to do all we can to invite others to the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, won't you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Won't you tonight repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized? When Matt called me and told me that Luke was going to be baptized, he said, we're going to baptize him in 15 minutes. I'm 30 minutes away. Sorry I couldn't make it, Luke. But I knew everything would be fine. That he'd be baptized, right? Because all of us are working together for one reason. And that is to do all that we can to help others, encourage others. And tonight, if you're not a Christian, here is water. What doth hinder you to be baptized? And if you're an erring child of God, tonight is the time that you can do something about your own salvation. Won't you repent and say, I'm sorry? Won't you let us pray with you and for you? It's the invitation of Jesus Christ that we extend to you, that we hope that you will obey while together we stand.